Our reading today is quite a short one, but perhaps we'll stand for the gospel. I'm reading from Matthew chapter 7, verses 13 and 14. For this will be very familiar to you. Enter through the narrow gate, for wide is the gate, and broad is the road that leads to destruction, and many enter through it. But small is the gate, and narrow the road that leads to life, and only a few find it. Hear what the Spirit is saying to the church. Please be seated. So one of the things you might not know about me, though I've probably admitted this in the past, is that I'm something of a science fiction fan. And in particular, I'm a devoted follower of Doctor Who. Anybody else a devoted? Oh yes, a few friends up here. And one of my favourite episodes in a recent series is one called Turn Left. And it concerns one of the Doctor's assistants who, prior to meeting the Doctor, is sitting at a crossroads arguing with her mother about which way she should go in search of a new job. So Donna wants to turn left to get to a well-paid temp position. And her mother is arguing fiercely that she needs a permanent job and that she should turn right to take a permanent job as a PA in a small company. And this being sci-fi, we get to see both choices. When she turns left, the world enfolds in glory. She meets the Doctor. They save the universe in multiple ways, as you do. And all life through the galaxy and all humanity lives to see another day. But when she turns right, she doesn't meet Doctor Who. Because she's not there to save him, he dies, which means they are unable to save the world from alien invasions and various calamities. And the stars begin to go out across the universe as the galaxy implodes. Sounds convincing? Great TV, and would that we were all able to see the various outcomes of our different choices. But the point I think to make here is that it all begins with a very ordinary person in a very ordinary car making a very ordinary decision. Will she turn right or will she turn left? And we can see similar moments of choice all through history, and I could pull multiple examples here, but I'm just thinking, if St. Paul had decided to send somebody else to Damascus to arrest the new Christians, how would the history of Christianity have unfolded? If C.S. Lewis hadn't got on that bus where he first met God, if he'd stayed in the library instead, would he have written the books that have had such an influence on so many people? And in our own lives, we have multiple moments of choice, some really big and some really small. Do we take this job or that job might be a big choice? Do we move house nearer to one of our grown-up children or stay where we are? Another big choice. But do we go to church today or go for morning tea with some friends? Not such a big choice, it seems. Unlike in Doctor Who, most of our decisions, happily, will not determine the fate of the entire universe. But the oddest thing when I think about this is that we will never know fully which were the most critical decisions we made. Sometimes the smallest choices, coming to church on Sunday, may have the biggest impact on our lives. And sometimes the biggest choices are made unseen. And today, we look at just such a choice, the biggest choice we'll ever make. We stand with our hands on two gates, one small and narrow, and one wide. Which will we open? We see before us two paths, one narrow and hard, and one broad and easy. Which one will we take? The path taken by the many, or the path taken by the few? Will we choose life or death? And this scripture reading has inspired poets and hymn writers and allegorists and painters throughout history. It's entered our very language. Taking the straight and not narrow comes from this passage. Perhaps most famous of all is John Bunyan's Pilgrim's Progress, which is based on this passage, and it's the story of a pilgrim Christian fleeing the city of destruction and tramping towards the narrow gate, carrying his burden of sin and shame. And a lot of art has been inspired by this, and Gwenda sent me this picture, which I think she has on her wall. And I mentioned this to another friend who also has it on his wall, so obviously very famous painting. And I don't know how well you can see this. I'm going to come in a bit closer. But you can see we've got this broad path and then the city in destruction. And on the other side, we've got a very difficult hill. And then we've got a kingdom at the top. I wish I could show you closer because there's a very interesting lion over there, which I'm very fond of. perhaps we won't spend too much on this slide. There we go. All the Sermon on the Mount has led us to this point. And the idea of making a choice between two things has been embedded and implicit in much of what we've read before. So, blessed are the poor in spirit, we read. And the echo comes back from Luke's gospel, woe to you who are rich. Blessed are those who hunger, says Jesus in Matthew's gospel. And here is the shadow in Luke, woe to those who are satisfied. Are we driven by riches on earth or riches in heaven? Is our master God or mammon? What motivates us, impressing other people by fasting in public or submitting our appetites to God by fasting in private? Do we set ourselves up as God with the knowledge and wisdom and righteousness to judge others? Or do we accept that we don't even have the wisdom to see our own shortcomings? Always in these passages, we've got two choices, and there are more of them coming up in the next few weeks. A good tree and a bad tree. People who are let in and people who are left out. A man who builds on rock and one who builds on sand. But for now, let us stop here. Two paths stand before us. Which way will you choose? And I don't know about you, but this choosing business makes me really uncomfortable. I don't like either or. We're not really an either or kind of society. We're a pluralistic both and kind of society. We live in a culture where everyone chooses their own unique path, where we don't say one way is better than another, where we say there are many ways to live a good life, and it's up to individuals to find their own unique and special path. And there are this idea that there are many, many paths, all as valid as the other, is kind of at the basis of a liberal democracy. But what makes me most uncomfortable about this passage and all the passages that we've been reading recently and will read in the next few weeks is that it says we can't have it both ways. There is no both and option here. These paths don't run side by side. They're not parallel tracks. We can't skip between them or follow them both at the same time. The narrow path is not bolted on to the broad way. Walking the narrow path can never be an extracurricular activity fit around the rest of our schedule. It's a fundamental change in direction that affects everything. When we stand here before the narrow and the broad gate, we are not standing at a swerve in the road. We are standing at a crossroads. Jesus is totally clear about this, not just here, but all through the Gospels. You are all in or you are all out. You reap or you scatter. You are hot or you're cold. You turn left or you turn right. And the question we all confront is, which one will we choose? And I'm very conscious as I talk to you today that for many of you, this choice is already made, that you have already opened that narrow gate. Perhaps some of us feel that we're walking up the broad and easy path, and others maybe are standing here at the crossroads for the very first time. But all paths have crossroads, moments of choice where you can turn away from the path you're following. So just for these next few minutes, let's imagine ourselves at the crossroads. What do we see? The first path is broad, and in some translations is described as easy. Most people are heading this way, and it would be easy to follow the crowd, just go with the flow. This is the path that the world invites us to join. It's the path of self-interest, self-reliance, and self-determination. It is a path where you are the master of your own destiny, the center and hero of your own world, free to judge others, to accumulate wealth and power, or to just settle into a comfortable life. It is a path where success is measured by wealth and acquisition, and strength is measured by the power and independence that we have. It is a world where we are free to fulfill our own appetites as we please. It's a world where other people are bit parts in the drama of our lives. It is a path where we are able to build our own little kingdoms, protect our own little nests, and shut the door on anything that would disturb our comfortable lives. It's a world where we can quite reasonably say, with Frank Sinatra, "I did it my way." The other path, by contrast, is narrow and hard. It's the path that we choose, that we choose not just to profess our faith, but to live it. And that's what the Sermon on the Mount has been all about. It means choosing courage over comfort. It's choosing what is right and compassionate when we'd rather turn away from the pain of other people. It's choosing the hard work and the hard risk of forgiveness and mercy. The narrow path requires us to cross out the I and put God in the center of our lives. It's the place we live out the gospel of seeing each of God's people, whatever their circumstances, as loved children of God. It's the path where we pour ourselves out in caring for the lost and the least, the lonely and the unloved, where we give without counting the cost. It's the path where we give up our autonomy and independence and give ourselves to God, where we call him master and allow him to guide our steps. And this is really uncomfortable, the place where we pull down and let go of our own little kingdoms, which build our egos and soothe our fears. It is the path where we pick up our cross and take it wherever he leads us. It is the path where we put our trust in the unseen God. And it truly is. Let's make no bounds about this. This truly is the hard and narrow path because it is completely countercultural. It goes against everything that society tells us about what matters and how we should live our lives. It requires us to choose again and again to ignore the messages that come to us from the media and our friends and peers and even perhaps from those who love us the best. And because this cultural message about the power of the individual is so pervasive, because we have grown up with it embedded in our very consciousness, then we have to go against the messages in our own heads. Take the easy path. Build a paradise on earth. Pursue your own dreams. Don't let anyone get in your way. Go on. Do what you like. You only live once. They're the messages we're fighting inside ourselves. And to give that up, to keep fighting those battles within ourselves is very hard, especially when they are combined with messages all around us in our world. As this passage tells us, not everyone can turn their face to the steep and exacting track. And let me tell you that if you take the narrow path, you will stumble and fall, and there will be lions obstacles on the way. And the world will laugh at you and tell you that your choices are all folly. And there will be times when you will doubt, and times when you will succumb to the world's messages, and you will find yourself at this crossroads all over again. So which path will you take? What if the world is right? But it isn't. And I'm going to tell you why. To take the broad path, the easy path, is to choose a lie. The idea that we are master of our own destinies is laughable. We did not choose the date of our birth. We will not choose the date of our death. Our earthly life is short, and all that we acquire and treasure will be lost to us in the end. The most powerful person on earth has no power to hold back death. The wealthiest person on the planet will one day see their worldly gains as nothing but dust. If we put our trust in our identities in our careers, we'll lose them in the end. There is a time when we must set them aside or become old news. If we put our trust in our intellect or beauty or strength, these too must fade away one day. And the robber barons who bombard us with the messages that our lives will be transformed if we buy this piece of furniture or this household appliance or this dress or this beauty product or this power tool or this tractor, or if we buy into this diet or exercise regime, they are all selling fairy dust. Our appetites will never be satisfied, our pleasures only fleeting. Our comforts are never assured, never enough. Our earthly kingdoms made of straw that will fall at the first strong winds. The messages of the world are false, mirages that will vanish as soon as they appear. To choose the broad path is to choose destruction, because really there is nothing there. To choose the broad path is to put our faith in a lie. And that is why the choice is so stark. There is no way to take both paths. If we profess our faith but live according to the world's values, we are living a lie. And the broad path is the way of lies. But if we take the gate to the narrow path, we put our trust in things that are real and true. And when we take the narrow path and live out the Gospels, we grow. When we rely on His strength and not on our own, we have more to give. When we learn to see each human being as a treasured child of God, our hearts are opened in ways that we could never have imagined. And we see our brothers and sisters on the road shining like the sun, as Thomas Merton says. The narrow path is the path of courage and integrity and love and hope. On the narrow path, joy comes out to meet us. Seek ye first the kingdom of God and His righteousness, and all these things will be added unto you, as the old song goes. On the narrow path, all that we give up comes back to us 100-fold. By giving our lives to the King and then living the life He has called us to, we find ourselves again loved, treasured, strengthened, and renewed. And when we stumble, and we will stumble, the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords, the Creator of all things, walks beside us, ready to catch us and hold us in His ever-loving arms. When we walk the narrow path, Jesus walks beside us and before us and carries the light that will see us through any darkness. One of my favourite poems by Robert Frost is based on this passage. It's called The Road Not Taken, and it ends with these lovely words. I took the road less travelled by, and that has made all the difference. The choice we make at the crossroads will make all the difference. Which way will you choose? If you're standing here for the first time, don't leave here today without turning to him. And if you've stood here before, as many of us have, and you've lost your way, or you feel like you're grappling in the dark, hold out your hand one more time and let him gather you into ways everlasting. In fact, we stand at this crossroads every day, every choice we make. Do we take the easy path, or do we choose to live the faith that we proclaim? And it all comes down to this. Do we trust him? Do we trust God? Or do we trust ourselves? So the question really is, will you trust him? There's a wonderful passage in Evelyn Underhill's writing when she talks about faithful Christian's friend in Pilgrim's Progress. Has anybody here read Pilgrim's Progress? It's a very strange book, isn't it? But very interesting. There's a character in this book called Faithful, and he is Christian's friend. And this is what she says about Faithful. This is Evelyn Underhill's writing. Faithful is the least preoccupied of all the pilgrims. We hear nothing about his burden or fatigue or difficulty or the poor state of the road. Christian makes a good deal of the valley of humiliation, tells us how horrible it was, and feels it very remarkable that he ever got through it. There is none of that in Faithful. He is not thinking about saving his soul. He is thinking about God. And so he goes in sunshine all the way. Choose the narrow path. Trust him. Choose truth over lies. Choose courage and integrity and humility and trust. And all these things will be added unto you. Choose to follow the Lord of life. Choose life. Choose love. Choose joy. Jesus is standing at the entrance to the narrow gate, waiting to welcome us in. Knock, and the door will be open to you. Seek, and you will find. Turn your eyes upon Jesus. Look full in his wonderful face, and the things of earth will grow strangely dim in the light of his glory and grace.